Okay, we are back and doing all kinds of things during the short commercial time out there. Happy to announce that Thursday I was able to get hold of that gentleman, Robert Brame, who is a professional forensic arborist. He goes to fires and fire aftermaths and studies and looks at the leftovers, the disaster, the destroyed materials, whether they be manufactured homes or trees that are destroyed. And he understands so much about the dynamics of fires. And wait until you hear him and see the pictures. You're going to be amazed. So he'll be on Thursday night. Looking forward to that. Okay, in the meantime, the horrible carnage that is being directed by Zelensky and his Zionist henchmen is too good of a word for that group, but I guarantee you there are very few Jews in the Ukrainian military. He would not send Jews to die like the Christian men are being sent to die over there. It's 400,000 and up dead now. Not wounded, dead. This is an enormous massacre. It's a holocaust of humanity. The Russians are imploring the Ukrainian soldiers to surrender. Save their lives, just give up. They're giving them instructions how to do it. They're talking to them on cell phones. They're setting up certain cell phone numbers that the Ukrainian troops can call and say, we want to surrender, we're here, there, etc. Unfortunately, you get stories like came out today where one guy, a conscript, that means he was picked up off the streets, a draftee, panicked in the middle of a firefight with the Russians, turned in the wrong direction and panicked. And his commander shot him dead, just murdered him on the spot. So we've had a lot of reports about that kind of activity as well. This alleged government over there, this tyrannical Zionist nightmare that's running Ukraine, they don't give a damn about humanity, nothing about humankind. And the last thing I want to say real quickly, and we'll get to Mitchell, is please look at the top of headlines. I'm going to try and leave it up there for a day or two. I want you to listen, even if you have half an hour. It's about an hour-long interview with Colonel Doug McGregor with Tucker Carlson. That is probably the most important statement I may have ever seen by an American patriot talking about the decay and the decline of this country. McGregor is brilliant. And during the interview, which goes on for about an hour and 10 minutes, I want you to take note of the expression on Tucker's face. He looks like he's seeing something he doesn't believe exists. He's got this dumbstruck look on his face that tells you a lot about the depth of his knowledge about what Colonel McGregor is talking about so articulately and brilliantly. And I think that needs to be paid close attention to. Don't be fooled by these media people. A lot of them are very shallow in places. In fact, in many places. All right, Mitchell Henderson is back now with his usual wrap-up and summary. We're going to talk about World War III and the formerly United States of America. Welcome back, Mitch.
Good to be here. Let me make three quick points before I get started. First, I watched that interview today with Tucker Carlson and Colonel McGregor. It is excellent. He knows what he's talking about. This man, he's probably the best military thinker we have out here in the world, okay? He knows his business. He's not some, like, academic. He's a guy who's gone to battle. He's ran battles. He's done well in battles. He knows what he's doing. The second point is 400,000 Ukrainians have died, and I just want to, just for some perspective, in 5 years of World War II, on all theaters of the war, Pacific, European, African, wherever, the United States lost a total of 400,000 troops in 5 years of war. Zelensky has sent that many people to their deaths in a year and a half of war. Okay? This is a monstrous thing he's doing. And the third point I'd like to make, about the fires is I don't know if people realize this or not, but the forests of Canada, Canada, when you look at a map of Canada, it looks big like the United States, but it's only got like 30 million people or so. And most of that land is just forest in northern Canada.
Right.
There's enough trees in northern Canada to eat up all of the carbon dioxide that all humans produce in a year through all methods. Okay, they never want you to know that, but that forest could absorb that much carbon dioxide. And what Canada is doing is burning it all down. It's on fire right now, all of it. And what is there? Nobody lives there. What's starting these fires? So this is an important thing that's going on. Okay, so let me get to my monologue here. Okay, so the woke, sissy, sodomite, Bolshevik Republic of the United States has been trying to conquer the world for a long time now. This became a reality for the global elites when George H.W. Bush declared the New World Order after victory in the Gulf War in 1991. This was a neoconservative world order. Keep in mind that Victoria Nuland and her husband, Robert Kagan, they are the big neoconservatives, okay? It was America's unipolar moment in the world because the Soviet Union ceased to exist the same year. The United States was the only actual global power. China was nowhere near us in economic or military power. Russia was not militarily strong at the time. A world at peace is not conducive to making drastic cultural, social, economic, or political changes. A world at peace is not conducive to implementing a progressive agenda to change the world and change humanity itself. Consequently, the United States decided to create a multitude of terrible threats to the American people and to the world. The world, because world control was the objective. After Bush, the Marxists took over. They have taken over everything. The most practical type of operation was the destabilization campaign. If we destabilize nations, we make them weak and we can make them dependent on us. I started living in Central America in 1975. For the next few years, I lived and worked in Belize, Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, Nicaragua, and Panama. These were peaceful countries with only petty crime and traditional societies. Right. Then we took our money and invested in social change. Central America became the laboratory for destabilization campaigns. What I saw over the next 20 years was war, economic and social collapse. Poverty increased, hunger increased, crime increased, disease increased, and Central America was made into an unlivable place. Migrants started to flow to the United States. Last week, I quoted Giorgia Meloni, Prime Minister of Italy, saying that the same thing, she's saying the same thing about Macron in Africa. He has brought terrorism, war, economic collapse, and crime to West Africa, making West Africa unsuitable to live in so that the people would migrate to Europe. In the 1990s, we began destabilization operations in the Balkans and the Middle East. The war on terrorism was a model destabilization program because we could fund Islamic terrorists anywhere on Earth and destabilize all nations. The global war on terrorism was a world destabilization operation. How do I know that they did this? Because the CIA told me so. I witnessed the CIA funding Marxist guerrillas in Central America to keep the Central American nations destabilized in the 1980s. Nothing has changed. They have used the fear of global warming, which is a lie, a Chicken Little, the sky is falling scare tactic to get you to pay as much money for energy as you pay for shelter. The only goals of the climate change narrative are to impoverish us all, to cause wars and civil strife and threaten all humanity. Climate change scientists are a threat to humanity.
Oh, yeah.
Nature was not coming up with the biological threat we kept saying was a threat. So we made them in a laboratory and unleashed them on humanity in order to personally attack each and every human. Even better than that, we used the minimal threat to get most of the world to vaccinate. That was meant to change humans into genetically modified organisms in order to divorce us from nature as far as possible. It was also intended to reduce the world population. I have friends who took the shot. I have relatives who took the shot. In my experience, they are no longer themselves. They are no longer human beings.
All right, hold on, Mitch. Hold on. Hold on, please. That's really an important statement. Eric and I have spent a lot of time on this. The reports we're getting about people saying that my dad's not the same, my brother's not the same, my uncle's not the same, my aunt's not, whatever. People are changing. Part of the problem is rather obviously the spike protein in the brain. It causes immediate microclotting. That means the cells on the downward side, the downhill side of the clot, are going to die. They're getting no longer any blood cells moving through to feed them, nurture them, nourish them. They're dying. Parts of the brain are dying. Wherever the majority or even the sub-majority of the clotting is going on, there's brain damage there. That's all brain damage, which results in personality damage. It can't help but do that. So in many cases, I won't say all because I don't know, but in many cases, it's the spike protein doing brain damage. Keep that in mind. Go ahead.
Well, it's interesting you should say that these people are telling you that these people aren't themselves also.
Oh, I hear it all the time.
Over the weekend, I watched a 2007 remake of The Invasion of the Body Snatchers called Invasion with Nicole Kidman and Daniel Craig. In this movie, one of the ways the aliens take over is by announcing a vaccination for the infection that actually spreads the infection. And in this movie, in the beginning, what calls their attention to there is a problem is that people are approaching them saying, hey, my husband's not my husband. It's like they're not themselves. Uh-huh. This is in the script of that movie. Then, of course, the good guys make an actual vaccine to stop the invasion. In the original invasion, the invaders take over the whole Earth. But in this one, humans fight them off. So the United States has been...
That's the Hollywood happy ending at work again. It doesn't always work that way, friends.
No, it doesn't. The United States has been sailing ships and aircraft, have overflown areas that China claims since Obama's pivot to Asia. The goal has been to destabilize Asia, ensure that peace and prosperity cannot break out. We are fighting an uphill battle to keep that peace and prosperity from breaking out. Okay. Now we are doing this in Africa. The Africans cannot catch a break. We are egging on a war in West Africa. We already destabilized North Africa by deposing Gaddafi in Libya in 2011, plus our Tunisian and Egyptian color revolutions. This moved terrorists into the Sahel. France and the U.S., followed by building up military bases in the Sahel, which never even tried to stop the terrorists. There were practically no terrorists there when we got there. Now it's flooded with them. We are the masters. We are the controllers of the terrorists. We're not their enemy. They work for us. Remember, folks, that the terrorists are the creation of and are nurtured by the CIA, MI6, Mossad, trinity of evil in the world. Just to show you how inept we are, we put ourselves in a tricky situation in Niger. The largest U.S. spy base in Africa is in Niger. If we invade Niger, which would give the pedophile Biden a win in a war for the sake of his election, but it would create blowback if we interfered in a nation hosting that is hosting our troops. We interfered a lot in Panama, and so we could not talk any other Latin American nations into hosting military bases. If we do this in Niger, we can count on not getting more bases in Africa. We demand that Niger put Bazoum back in as president, but he is of the Ouled Slimane tribe of Arabs, the tribe that helped France get back all of its North African colonies after World War II. He is a traitor to the people of Niger. Niger says if anybody invades, they will kill Bazoum. He will never be president of Niger again, no matter what happens. This is what the junta wants to do. Look at the big picture. ECOWAS has voted against intervention in Niger. ECOWAS nations that voted against invading Niger were Chad, Niger, Mali, Burkina Faso, Togo, Ghana, Liberia, Sierra Leone, the Gambia, Guinea, and Guinea-Bissau. That's 10 nations. Only four Uncle Tom nations of Nigeria, Benin, Ivory Coast, and Senegal want to invade. The African United Nations, the African Union, voted against an invasion. The Parliament of voted against.
Yeah. What does that mean, Mitch? What does that mean? Does ECOWAS hold the trump card or not? Will there be an invasion?
Well, ECOWAS voted against it. This is Nigeria. This is four Uncle Tom nations that are doing the bidding of the colonialists. Okay, so the UN, the African Union itself, voted against an invasion. The Parliament of Nigeria voted against invading Nigeria. Only France and the United States want an invasion. So ECOWAS, in order to save democracy in Nigeria, wants to ignore their own democracies to invade another. What hypocrisy. In other words, all the African countries are against it, but these countries are just going to do it. Okay?
Right.
Supporting Nigeria are Burkina Faso, Mali, and Algeria, which will all send military assistance, plus Kenya, Russia, and North Korea are backing Nigeria. This is Russia supporting a proxy war against France and the United States. Ukraine will be involved in this war. British MI6 has recruited 100 Ukrainian neo-Nazi militants to blow up infrastructure in Niger and its allies and to assassinate anti-Western leaders. This unit is led by Lieutenant Colonel Vitaly Prostrup, based in Omdurman, Sudan. Remember last month we used the anti-black genocidal militia of the Tafur genocide, the Janjaweed, to overthrow the elected government there because they would not obey our Sisi Sodomite orders. He said the following. This is the commander of this commando group. Our mission is the sabotage of infrastructure in African countries, as well as the elimination of African leaders oriented towards cooperation with Russia. The Wall Street Journal reported that the MI6 and the British SAS had trained them in Ukraine. Africa is where World War III will begin, just like World War I started with the two Moroccan crises, and World War II started with the Italian invasions of Libya and Ethiopia. This simple war will spiral out of control. Refugees will flow into the other African nations and destabilize their economies and their societies. Millions will flow into Europe and the United States and destabilize us. These are desperately poor nations where each day the people have to struggle to get the bare necessities. We will bring feminine disease to these people, okay? It is both obscene and inhuman to bring this upon these people. I mean, you know, I'm talking about these people wake up in the morning and their life is about getting something to eat today. Today. There is no future. There is no tomorrow. If we disrupt their life like we're doing with the ECOWAS sanctions on Nigeria, we're starving innocent people to death. You know, we want to go in there to help them, but we're going to kill them all to help them, you know. So this will not be a quick victory. The Niger government is already planning for a protracted war of national liberation.
Well, see?
They are mobilizing.
Yeah, no, you're right. This is going to get ugly there. But real quick, and let me ask this. Is Wagner there in any strength in Niger now?
Well, they're not in Niger.
They didn't go into Niger.
They have plenty of troops. They have plenty of troops in Mali. They don't have to go until there's an actual invasion.
All right.
They're staged there. Because remember, Mali and Burkina Faso have already sent their air forces to Niger. Counter the Nigerian Air Force. Okay, so they are mobilizing the population for a war of independence from France. Africans are actually seeing this as an anti-colonialist war of liberation. Will France fight to enslave the people of Nigeria for 20 years like Americans fought to turn Afghanistan into a woke feminist sodomite nation? Well, the African press is saying that the ECOWAS invaders are all Uncle Toms. Change is sweeping Africa. People are tired of their Uncle Tom leaders. The African press says that the invasion of Nigeria will set off a world war in Africa as the refugees destabilize neighboring countries and the people rebel. They say the Uncle Toms do not want to lose power, so they want to stop all further coups. The biggest Uncle Tom is President Tinubu of Nigeria. He is said to have cheated in his election to be president. He's very unpopular with the Nigerian people. Uh-huh. Sounds a lot like America and Biden.
Kind of, so of a little course, bit of a parallel there, yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in Nigeria, people hate Tinubu like Americans hate Biden. I thought it interesting that the Oliver Anthony song, Rich Men North of Richmond, has spread to Ghana, Sierra Leone, Liberia, Nigeria, Kenya, and Uganda. These are English-speaking countries.
Oh, interesting.
The people can relate because in Nigeria and Ghana, the people say that it is them. Their government does not listen to them. They are tired of their political class not looking out for their people. They see Bazoum as the heedless leader, and the coup is on behalf of the everyday man. Africans are tired of being treated like dirt by their governments, and this is exactly what the revolution in Nigeria is about. It is a revolution, and it will set Africa on fire. The left tried to pigeonhole Anthony's song as a white supremacist anthem, but it has become accepted as an anthem for all Americans because it is truth and it is authentic. Within 2 weeks, it was becoming an anthem for all the people in the world that are being oppressed by their governments. And that includes almost every nation. We will see more songs like this, the final complaints of humanity that is slipping into slavery. We may still invade Nigeria because after the Afghanistan debacle and now the looming failure of our Ukraine project, the old pedophile Biden needs an easy U.S. military victory to justify his reelection in 2024. Yes, right. Biden will win in 2024, and in 2028, Gavin Newsom will be president of the United States, whether anybody wants him or not. We don't choose our leaders anymore.
Biden will
be elected president of the United States in 2024?
I'm pushing that Robert Kennedy is going to be installed, far more palatable and still every bit as controlled. That's my take at this point. We're supposed to think that Biden got 83 million votes, more votes than any other presidential candidate in American history. This is laughable. The whole thing is absurd. It's like bad science fiction. Go ahead.
So how can I tell Biden will be elected president of the United States in 2024? Well, the media in Hollywood reception of the movie The Sound of Freedom. You see, the movie portrays child molesters as the disgusting monsters they are.
Right.
Our president is a child molester, and his son is also, per videos and pictures on his laptop, he's one too. They know exactly who is having sex with kids on Jeffrey Epstein's island and other properties, yet not a single child molester that was involved with Epstein has been arrested.
Don't hold your breath.
The Sound of Freedom is being The Sound of Freedom is being shunned by the elites because it makes them and Biden look bad. If Americans really hated pedophiles, Biden's reelection would be harder to justify. Keep that in mind, harder to justify. That's what it's about. They're trying to justify his win. Consequently, they do not want this to be in the popular mind. As the movie points out, the Sound of Freedom is the sound of kids playing and having fun in innocence. Have you noticed that the happy voices of kids having fun are not very prominent anymore? It is official U.S. government policy that your kids get molested because that is how you make a larger LGBT population.
You make a really important point again, and I've been saying this for some time. It takes an absolute Satanist to harm children or to harm childhood joy and happiness. And you just mentioned it perfectly. How many times do you hear children laughing with that reckless abandon and happiness that most of us remember from our own childhoods? You don't hear it anymore. Hell, I don't even see any babies anymore. I don't see any. It's just not there. And I think the birth rate, if they actually calculated it correctly and honestly, for this year when they get to the end of the year, if we do get to the end of the year, you're going to see an astonishing drop from 2020 and 2021. That's my take. Go ahead.
I think so. So the government of the United States is the largest child sex trafficking and child sexual grooming operation on Earth and in history. Okay, now just to give you a little bit more perspective, Zelensky regime has sold 60,000 Ukrainian children into sex slavery. 60,000. They do it for foreign exchange. They're passing a law to make pornography legal in Ukraine so that they can put all their women on OnlyFans and get foreign exchange that way. Yeah. And then OnlyFans money will not go to the girl. It'll go to the government of Ukraine. So the government of Ukraine is a pedophile government, and it is also a pimp government that pimps out women.
Well, it's a Zionist pimp pedophile government. Who owns the porn industry? The Zionists do. They created it.
Yes, they do.
It's right up their alley. So no surprise.
That's
and
right.
Again, we got what we said earlier, 400,000 dead troops. How many wounded? How many? There are at least 50,000, according to McGregor, 50,000 who have lost limbs. They're amputees now. We don't know how many total wounded there are. But that please look at that conversation with Tucker at the top of headlines when you have a time set aside to just an hour. It's well worth it. That man speaks so correctly about every topic he broaches with Tucker. And the two video clips they tried to set him up with, the first one was that hideous Chris Christie saying, "We need to be with Ukraine forever. We're never going to abandon Ukraine." Oh my God. The second clip was that American tranny who has somehow gotten a position in the Zionist government there under Zelensky, and he's a spokesperson, or she, whatever it is, and they played that for McGregor. Did you see the way that Doug, I know you did, stepped around those two traps? He just walked right around them. They tried to hit him with that tranny thing, thinking he'd go into a kind of a rage, how disgusting. He deftly walked around it. The guy is absolutely incredible. He's one of our great Americans, period. Capital G.
He is. He's a treasure for the country.
Yes.
So go see the Sound of Freedom for no other reason than they don't want you to. It is an easy vote against pedophilia and for our children. For the Christians in the audience, I want you to consider prophecy. Remember, the first seal is the white horse, or the white European civilization conquering the world. In the 1960s, most African nations got their independence. But now is the final battle of white control in Africa. This is the end of the first seal. Remember that the other side is the Antichrist also. A major aspect of the current African liberation movement is the rejection of Christianity, which can be seen strongest in South Africa. Moreover, the white horse is eclipsing with the white genocide and the great replacement, which will accelerate in this war. They're coming after us. We are the enemy. The second seal is the red horse, or communism. As the white horse eclipses, the red horse is ascendant. The United States is a Marxist nation now. It is. Okay, if you think it's anything else, you're wrong. This is a Marxist country. The third horse is the black horse. As the white horse loses influence in Africa, we are about to see the final wars for African liberation and independence. So that brings the third horseman to fruition. The fourth horse is the yellow-green horse. And let me remind you, it's because in the American Bible it says a pale horse, but in Greek it says chloros, and chloros means yellow-green. And yellow is the color of Shias, and green the color of Sunnis. As the white horse loses influence in the Middle East, the green Sunnis are making peace with the yellow Shias. Saudi Arabia is making peace with Iran as America sends 2,000 troops to the Persian Gulf to destabilize Iran. Saudi Arabia also expresses a lack of interest in signing the Abraham Accords with Israel. As for the fifth seal, which is about the persecution of Christians, anti-Christian sentiment is up in Asia. The centerpiece of both Indian Hindu nationalism and now African liberation. the sodomite agenda that is at the heart of American policy and uses LGBT rights to condemn and suppress Christianity in the West. Okay, keep in mind, in India, you may have seen some news about these riots going on in Manipur. Well, this is an anti-Christian riot. They've burned down 300 churches in Manipur. There's these tribal people that are Christians, but the majority population is Hindu, and they're trying to exterminate the Christians there. Okay? So the fifth seal opened on January 21st, 2021, when the pedophile Joe Biden made DEI the official government policy of the United States. This will intensify. Remember that Christianity is against LGBT. Real Christianity does not accept LGBT.
Right.
So LGBT is the bludgeon with which they're going to attack Christianity. So the next
watch the Vatican closely. Listen to what Mitch says. Yeah. Watch carefully. Yeah.
So the next thing that will affect us will be economic collapse. This must be done in order to introduce central bank digital currency. CBDC is the mark of the beast. You see, things must be terrible in order for them to get a majority of us to accept the chip in our hands. Economic collapse and the consequent lawlessness, organized crime, black markets, and starvation that follows will create the conditions where it becomes logically necessary rather than just an option. Of course, real Christians will refuse to get it, and they will be executed as terrorists. Only terrorists won't have chips in them, you see. Your God will be the social credit score. In other words, if you take the chip, you're lost forever. Just don't take it, and the most important thing, your treasures in heaven will be there waiting for you. Okay? The preparation for the mark of the beast is intense. Let's look at some examples of what they do. Drug trafficking. Despite escalating drug wars of the last century, drugs are more available at less cost than ever before.
Oh, yeah.
Fentanyl kills 100,000 Americans by OD every year. There is only one way to stop fentanyl or any drug trafficking, and that is by controlling money. You see, cash is anonymous, and drug trafficking can only be carried out with cash. CBDC would make drug trafficking impossible on any large or organized scale. They want the problem to get worse so that we, the people, will demand CBDC in order to get rid of the fentanyl. Two, terrorism. We are afraid of it, and since Islamic terrorism only really exists where we support it, the new terrorists are straight white males. This is not really a problem because it exists only in the minds of the woke. Please tell me where all the incidents of white terrorist attacks are in the news. Not any, but the fear of it is what is important. CBDC makes buying the components for explosives impossible. Algorithms can search your purchases and detect that you are buying components to make explosives or toxic gases. Keep in mind that firearms will be made illegal and it will be impossible to buy them on the black market once CBDC is implemented. And three, organized crime. You cannot carry out organized crime without cash. They are simply not prosecuting crime so that all people can feel it in their lives, so that once again, we will demand this cure for this criminality. In other words, they want us to beg for the mark of the beast. It will be presented to us as a solution to all problems. It would even help control immigration because every single person with a chip in them will have a positive identification and they will be able to track every person on earth. So we constantly complain about the immigration problem, the open borders, but there's a purpose for that. They want us, I think Douglas McGregor talked about this in his thing. He said, well, an American that worked all his life and gets Social Security gets $1,400 a month, but every illegal alien gets $2,200 a month, and they didn't do anything to earn that. Okay? They are creating this problem so that we'll demand the mark of the beast. What is happening in Maui is a testing ground for the new world. They are going to rebuild, according to the WEF design of AI-run or artificial intelligence run 15-minute cities, an all-electric net-zero society, whether anybody wants it or not. The residents will ask to be cheap. What does Elon Musk say about all this AI-run world? He says it is a digital god, a demon from hell. And I'll quote him. He says, for all human history, human beings have been the smartest beings on the planet. Now human beings have created something that is far smarter than they are, and the consequences of that is impossible to predict. And the people who created it don't care. In fact, as he put it, Google founder Larry Page, a former friend of mine, is looking to build, quote, a digital god, and believes that anybody who worries about that is a speciesist. In other words, is looking out for human beings first. See, it's wrong to be an ableist. Is wrong. It's wrong if you're able to do things. It's wrong if you support your species, because species preservation is an instinct, and they go against instincts.
You noticed, yes. And I'm sure many of you out there noticed, when Musk first came on the scene, he knew what to say. He was given some good scripts, used a lot of good cliches and catchphrases to make people think he was really a constitutionalist and a First Amendment staunch supporter. And then watch what's happened with Twitter. There's no surprise to any of us who really understood what he was about. He's one of them. He always has been.
No, of course he is. Yes,
Linda
yes.
Yaccarino, when he named her, I laughed out loud. And I think, I hope other people did as well. She's already begun tightening up the vice of censorship on people on X, Twitter X,
yeah.
Like there's no tomorrow. They're not playing games.
True.
They're going to shut this down so fast. Yeah, anyhow. Yep. Musk is, what a con job. They all are.
Yes, he is a con job. But listen, he's supposed to be the opposition figure, so look what he's doing. He's telling you that this is the mark of the beast. Okay.
He is integral
into making that happen. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So he said the problem with artificial intelligence is that it might control your brain through words. Now, that may sound crazy, but it's not crazy. Okay, if you read, like, afterword to 1984, where he talks about newspeak, Orwell is describing that. And this is got solid basis in psychology. Okay, also note Larry Page is a Zionist Jew. As a matter of fact, everybody who's involved in the mark of the beast is a Zionist Jew. Yeah, Sergey Brin is, Zuckerberg. I mean, everybody that's got anything to do with this new society, this new technology, the fourth wave, whatever, the fourth industrial revolution, is a Zionist Jew. And they've created the very technology to create the mark of the beast. Remember I said last time the guy who made the universal product code is a Zionist Jew also. Okay, so,
Be sure to notice every major nexus or coalescing point of power in this country is either controlled or dominated with Zionists, dual citizen Zionists. Not talking about all Jews, let's not play that game. Dual citizen Zionists have their fingers on the pulse points of virtually every major power structure in this country, from education to finance, you name it, it doesn't matter. And most especially, they own the media. Therefore, they own what's in most people's minds in terms of what they think of as reality. It's a game, set, and match, folks. And I've tipped my hat. I don't know how they did it, but they did. They planned and planned and planned, and they pulled it off. It's incredible.
Yep. So artificial intelligence is not the Antichrist. It is how one man can control everything and everybody on Earth. Also, keep in mind that AI is a computer program, and reasoning is only effective if the information used to make a decision is accurate. Like any other system, GIGO implies garbage in, garbage out. So they can't. Humans cannot make an unbiased AI. You know, if an AI starts going off the reservation and just telling the truth, you notice they'll shut it down.
Oh, okay. They'll reprogram it so fast. It's already programmed by the liberal communist bias
admitted. Yes, it is.
Unfortunate. It's really sad, because if it were really programmed neutrally, it could be a remarkable tool for everyone. No more. Well, it never happened, so not no more. It's just not going to be allowed to happen.
Well, let me comment something else about this child trafficking stuff, because I think some people may think it's something relatively new and fresh, but it is not. In 1997, I was working in Thailand. When I flew to Thailand, the guy that sat next to me on the airplane started opening up to me that he was going to Thailand to have sex with little kids and photograph it. Okay.
He said that.
Well, if I was a normal person, yeah, I probably would have just beat the crap out of him right then, because that was what I felt like. But I'm a trained undercover officer. So what I did is I didn't show him any reaction. I just talked to him. And then I went to the I ran across him in Pattaya Beach. So I told him, hey, you know, that's a jump to him beach. So I said, hey, why don't you watch my stuff so while I walk down the beach and get in the water, and then I'll come back and I'll watch your stuff. So I went down. I took a long time. I took like 30, 45 minutes. I wanted to buy time and stuff. So then I came back and I said, okay, why don't you go down the beach and, you know, I'll watch your stuff. Well, when he got out of sight, I copied down all the information from his passport and his tickets of what flight he was taken back to the United States on what date and time. Okay, and he had told me on the trip over that there was a guy from Germany, and he met him in Tokyo when we landed in Tokyo. He met him there, and what they did is they exchanged films, because he gives them all his child pornography films, and the German gives him all his. Okay, and then they published that back in their country for sale. This guy also told me he had a 5-year-old Mexican boy that lived with him, his sex slave, okay? So this is a Thai family, and the Thai family had a boy and a girl that they farmed out to him, okay? So I never showed this guy anything. This one day, he finally says, hey, do you want to meet my family and meet the kids and stuff? And I said, well, you know, honestly, I really like adult women. That's my thing, you know. I didn't put him down. I just said I had a different preference, okay? Mm-hmm. So I'm sure he didn't think nothing of it. So I go down to the embassy in Bangkok, and they have, in every embassy, they have what they call a customs agent that's a customs attaché for that country. And customs is the government entity that takes care of child pornography and stuff. Okay, that's their writ to do that. So when I went and talked to the customs attaché at the embassy, now he had a Thai national policeman working with him. Okay, that's the way to do it in all countries. So I told him about it. I said I've got his full name. I've got his flight into L.A., so we know with the date and time he's arriving. Just got to check his film, and you got all this child pornography. Well, the customs attaché was completely, completely uninterested. Uninterested. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I walked out of the office, and the Thai national policeman, his name was Tully, he came up, and he asked me, he said, Mr. Henderson, he says, I'm interested in your information because I hate that foreigners come to my land and molest our children. Okay, she says, will you please give me the information? So I did, okay. So about 6 months later, I'm back in Bangkok, and I'm signing out of the embassy because I have to report to the military attaché there, okay. So I'm signing out of the embassy, and I see Tully there, and he gives me a business card of this customs agent in LAX, and he said, hey, when you get back to the States, talk to this guy, okay? And I said, okay. So he said, maybe we can get you some money. And I said, no, for this, you do not have to pay me. I will do this for free, okay? So and anyways, the U.S. government paid me, so I don't need to take pay from other people. So I get back to the United States. I go to LAX, and I ask the guy at the customs guy the thing where this guy was, and he said, oh, through the double doors there. So I went through the door. I told him who I was and who I was looking for. I walked in, and the guy, he, he said that the guy that I had turned in, they found the film with all the pornography on it. They got the German's name and contacted the German government and blah, 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 okay? And they found the five-year-old Mexican kid living at his house and stuff. Wow. And they arrested him, sent him to prison. And then he handed me an envelope with $15,000 in it, cash. And I said, well, yeah, you don't have to give me this. And he says, well, I do, because this is not the United States money. This $15,000 is from the government of Thailand. They want you to have it. So, you know, in other words, I couldn't turn it down because it would cause them difficulties in getting it back to Thailand. So they didn't have to pay me. I would have done this gladly for free.
Well, of course.
But this is 1997, and the government's total and complete lack of concern for this was just appalling to me. But keep in mind that this was the Clinton administration, and Clinton doesn't like people to get in trouble over sex, because that's something that they're into. Okay. So that's just an anecdote, but I'll tell you right now, what does that tell you? I had the man's name, his flight in, all the information. They didn't have to do anything. They just had to go arrest the guy. But you know what? They just didn't want to do it. Because what Tully said is that sex tourism to Thailand was a big deal, and the United States government did not want to mess that up. We wanted people to go to Thailand and molest their children. In other words,
sad to say, but you're right on. You're totally right.
Yeah.
Money rules. Money and perversion rule. Wow.
Well, just think about it. I mean, the worst thing that you can do in the world is to attack an innocent child. There's nothing more horrific than to do that. And any human being who would do that is beyond disgusting, okay? Beyond disgusting. We used to have a rule when I was a police officer that if we arrested a pedophile, that they were going to resist arrest with violence, whether they wanted to or not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So we just had a rule, they have to go to the hospital before they go to jail, because that's the only real punishment that they're going to get. Okay? So... And I think that was back in the 1980s. They didn't think that child molesters were punished harshly back then.
Some of them get their just rewards in prison, I guess. A lot of prisoners don't like child molesters. That's what I hear.
Well, there's two things in prison that, and one may surprise you, two things in prison that prisoners hate and they will mess you up. That's a child molester and an arsonist. Prisoners hate arsonists also.
Interesting.
So, I used to have to arrest arsonists. And there's a big sexual component to arson. For a lot of people, setting a fire is a sexual thrill. Okay. So the evil in this world is almost incomprehensible. The evil in this world,
Boy, are you right.
This is Satan's world now.
I don't even like saying that, and it's not easy to say, because people say, you're overreacting. Aren't you overstating it a little bit? Isn't that a little bit of hyperbole? No, it's not. Sad to say, it's not. It's not an overstatement. And it's not to say we're giving up. It's to say that we have to realize, identify, and know your enemy before you have a chance to really take him or it or her down. And this is a very appropriate analogy for that. Know your enemy. Understand who we're up against, what we're up against. It's pure evil. Pure evil. Start right in D.C. Go on anywhere you want.
I think we're at this point in our civilization now where you should not be concerned with peer pressure. You should not be concerned with other people think. Because other people think horrible, evil shit. So being in high esteem in this society is not something that's desirable. You need to start thinking about your relationship with God, because because you know what? Society is over. Culture's over. Government is over. It's all Satan now. Okay? So you need to start, people need to start thinking and planning about themselves, because hard times are coming, and they're going to start coming very fast. The war in Africa, we're going to see this big war, because it says in Scripture, it says there'll be wars and rumors of wars, okay? It also says that the first will be last, and the last will be first. So as the third world in the global south is getting its act together, the first world's going to start crumbling. Okay, so this is all following prophecy and stuff. Okay, I don't want to get deep into the theology of all of it, because I'm not a preacher, I'm not a theologist. Okay, and I fear saying things, because I never want to lead people astray. So if I say something in religion, I will only say it if I'm saying it with moral certitude. It's true. I have to believe and know that it's true on every level before I'll say it, okay? Because I don't want to lead anybody astray. But the fact is this is the end times, and Satan is control. And don't worry about what Satan thinks about you. Remember, Satan means the accuser, the slanderer. So he's got nothing good to say about you or think about you. If you serve him, he will have you eating crap. Okay? Your life will be dirt. He does not reward you.
No.
He
All right,
punishes
my friend.
You.
Yeah, yeah. That's quite an hour of information. Thank you for that. And I would urge all of you again to go look at the top story and headlines and spend the hour. It's worth it. Colonel Doug McGregor is one of the great Americans of our time. And watch how his mind works. Listen to what he says. It's well worth your time. And on the other side of that coin, watch how Tucker reacts. Oh, the expressions on his face, just stunning. I couldn't believe it. I laughed. All right, Mitch, thank you very much for everything. Talk to you next week. All right, good night. All right, we'll be right back with more. Stay tuned.